Well, sometimes devotee practice 10 years or even more, and then change direction. They go to Buddhism or Christianity or somewhere. Is it the result of aparatha or something?
The question is, this is a good question. We see some devotees practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavism for 10 years, 5 years, 500 years, whatever. And then after that, they go to Vipassana Yoga, Vipassana Goenka's Vipassana Yoga thing, or they go here or there, go to some Buddhism or this Christianity, or become monks or whatever, punks or. Monks or punks, whatever they do. So why do they do that? There's not one answer why they do it. The question was suggested, is it because of aparad? But maybe, maybe not. Generally, what it's told is that there are results when shastras describe the results of aparadha. When you make Vaishnava aparadha and you don't get forgiven for those, then what happens is you lose your taste. You lose your taste for bhakti bhajan. There's no more ruchi. You don't feel any desire. You lose your desire to practice bhakti. You lose your desire to hear Hari Katha and chant kirtan and japa. You lose your desire to associate with devotees. So you, and your material desires, whatever residual, whatever samskaras are left in your chitta, they fructify and put you into illusion of maya. So that's the result, that's described. When they describe the results, they don't. There's no mention in shastra that you start taking up another pathway. They just say that you leave Krishna. Aparadha, you make Vaishnava aparadha, and Krishna doesn't like that. Aparadha means displeasing. Where rad means to give pleasure. Rad, R-A-D-H, short A. Rad means to please, to make satisfied. So aparadha means against pleasure. So it's against Krishna's pleasure when you offend Vaishnava. So he doesn't like people like that, so he gets rid of you. But he makes it look like it's your decision. He enters your mind, Maya enters your mind, and says, oh, these devotees are all so neophyte, and you know, they don't know anything, they're all so stupid, and I know so much, and and I'm wasting my life over here, and this and that. So you go away. So it doesn't describe that you take up some other spiritual path, Christianity, or Buddhism, or yoga, or whatever. It doesn't say that. But we see that happens. So why someone takes up, the answer to why someone takes another path, because they have samskaras for it. Generally, when one leaves bhakti, they go back to what the samskaras have stored up for. Because it also means something interesting here. Why someone leaves after 10 years of bhakti, means they weren't doing very good bhakti. Because if you get the taste of bhakti, you'll never leave. Look at this guy, he's hanging around for years. If you're near aparadha, near upadika, your frequent designation, and designation, vision, and measuring people, and free from envy, and free from Vaishnavarat, you'll never leave bhakti, you'll never leave Krishna. Because the taste is too sweet. The taste of bhakti is too sweet. And everyone will get that taste if you properly perform bhakti. It's a science. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam, Susukam Kardavavayam. Kartavya means the action of bhakti is infallible. Avya means infallible, it doesn't break, doesn't leave you. And what is it? It's dharmas...
Rajivya.
No, third line. Pratyaksha, Pratyaksha Bhagavan Dharma. This Dharma, this practice of scientific practice of Bhakti Bhajan, Bhakti Yoga Bhajan, is manifest. This Pratyaksha Bhagavan Dharma, it manifests. You get a taste, you get a realization that's superior to anything you ever experienced anywhere else. Pramjusvanivarjate. That's a higher vision. You get Drishtra means vision. Pramjusvanivarjate means you get a higher vision, higher taste of reality, higher taste of love, higher taste of happiness, and a vision of the ultimate reality. You get if you practice bhakti. You see the ultimate reality. You haven't attained it, but you see it. Gradually you put one toe in the ultimate reality, then two, then three. Then you have one foot in spiritual world, one foot here. First put your fingers on it. Put your fingers on the ultimate reality. Then you put your foot like Tar Baby guy. Tar Baby, remember Tar Baby? Remember? I forgot.
Tar Baby.
You forgot about that thing? Your brain's not working these days. Too cold. Hard drive froze up. So that's a nice question. Don't leave, please. We're not booking any return tickets, I'm sorry. It's a one-way ticket. We issued a one-way ticket. We didn't give you a return ticket, though. Diksha means one-way ticket, not return. From Maya to Diksha to Krishna. Not from Maya to Diksha to Maya. What? That's round trip. I'm not the kind of guru. My travel agency doesn't sell round trip tickets. You got one-way ticket. I sold a one-way ticket to come to me. I'll sell you one more one-way ticket to go to Radha Krishna. Is it a deal?
Yes.
Some gurus sell round trip tickets. Not in this travel agency. Nice question. Crazy.
Pranam. I have this question that before reading about pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, one should know Krishna in Tattva. So,
I don't know about that.
So what exactly does that mean, knowing Krishna in Tattva? That how he is transcendentally enjoying with the gopis? And what is the significance of the first 9 cantos of Bhagavatam in that?
They ask 20 questions at once. Well, ask one question one time. First, we'll start with the second question. What is the significance of the 9 cantos? First of all, what is the purpose of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam? So, this is the answer. The purpose of the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam is to explain what is Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti is defined in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first part, first wave, first chapter, verse 11, in Mangalacharan Shloka by Rupa Goswami. Shunyam Gyan Karma Adyanavritam Anukoyena Krishna Shiyanam Bhakti Uttama. Uttam Bhakti is defined there, Anyabhilashi, no other desire. No other ambition, no covering of karma, no covering of jnana, done with a favorable mind and favorable heart, solely and only for the pleasure of Krishna, this Uttam Bhakti. So the 9 cantos, before you get to the 10th canto, it shows what is not Uttam Bhakti. It shows Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Devata Puja, Panchapasana, many types of bhakti and devotion are displayed in different cantos of Bhagavatam. When you get to the 9th canto, you find out about Ramachandra. You find out about pure bhakti there. Sita bhakti for Ram is pure for devotion. But it's not very elaborately revealed. When you get to the 10th canto, then you get the full definition of Uttam Bhakti. Because the most highest param bhaktas Uttam Bhakti, or the Gauri's Vrindavan, especially Radharani. So that is brought out in the 10th canto. In Venugi, chapter 21, chapter 29, Pranayagi, chapter 31, Gauri, chapter 35, Yogi, chapter 39, Viragi, chapter 47, Brahmargi. These are six gitas of the 10th canto describe Uttam Bhakti fully, because it describes the love of Radharani and the Gauri's for Krishna. That's the purpose of the whole Bhagavatam. So everything before 10th canto, everything after Bhagavatam is to describe, to give you a definition of what is Uttam Bhakti. So when we practice Bhakti Sadhana, there's different aspects of Bhakti Sadhana. One is Sambandha, which means the foundation of spiritual truth, Tattva. And one is Avideya, means the practice of Sadhana Bhakti, means the nine limbs of Bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasayanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Adhanam, Vedanam. So we have to practice that. So we study Tattva, we study Shastra, especially we study Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Goswami Granthas, and Satsandharvas or Jiva Goswami. They're essential. If we want to really understand the Bhagavatam, we have to understand the Satsandharvas. Paramahava Sandharva, Bhagavad Sandharva, Tava Sandharva, Bhagavad Sandharva, Priti Sandharva, the six Sandharvas should be studied. And when you study those books, and then all at the same time, you have to cultivate familiarity with the Prayojan. So three things are going on simultaneously. Not just studying Tattva, not just reading about Krishna Lila, studying Tattva and reading about Krishna Lila and doing Bhakti Bhajan. All three are going together. You're doing Sambandha, cultivating Sambandha, cultivating Avideya, cultivating Priyojana all the time. Because without full awareness of the goal, Priyojana, and attraction for the goal, you can't do practice. Without attraction and intense desire to attain the goal, you won't. First you have to know what the goal is, define what the goal is. You have to define what the goal is, you have to learn more about that goal. You have a rough idea. My goal is praying, save Radha Krishna Vrindavan. Who's Radharani? Who's Krishna? What's Vrindavan? What's praying Tava? What's Bhagavat Tava? What's Shakti Tava? Then what's Nam Chang Tava? What is Nam Tava? Then you have to go back and say all the Tavas. Vaishnava Tava, Nam Tava, Bhagavat Tava, Shakti Tava, Dham Tava, Prem Tava. So you have to learn all the Tavas. So all three are going on simultaneously. You're chanting, you're meditating on Lila, and you're studying Tava all together. Not just chat, do one thing. It's not like you go to high school, then you go to college, then you go to graduate school, then you go to postgraduate. We do all three at once. Mix them all together. First book Prabhupada translated in America was not Gita, it was Krishna book. In 1969 it was printed. 1970 it was Nectar Ocean. Gita was published in 1972. Before that, I reading from a Gita from some Dr. Radhakrishna, some Indian, first president of India, Radhakrishna, president of India. Some Gita, they didn't have a Gita until 1972. The first book Prabhupada translated in English was Krishna book, all gopis, everything, Krishna book. The Nectar of the Ocean. So that's all, that's Priyojana, that's all Priyojana Tattva. But he gave commentaries on those Leelas, so you don't make offense and understand it. He describes Rasa Leela, all kinds of commentary he gives also. So you can read Rasa Leela, you can read all intimate Leelas of Krishna, you can read with commentaries, or with your guru's sanction and blessings. Then there's no problem. You wait for 100 years to study Tava, you'll stop studying Tava and go in Maya, because you haven't read any Krishna Leela. You have to get nectar of devotion. Bhagavad Rashmi Sinha is called nectar. Bhagavatam is not called nectar, it's called Bhagavatam. Bhas. Sadhana Goswami wrote nectar. Bhagavatamritam. Bhagavatamritam. A big nectar from the Bhagavatam. But the Bhagavatam is not saying it has nectar. Sadhana Goswami took out the nectar. And Rupa Goswami took out the nectar. Wrote Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Just the nectar without the story. But Sadhana Goswami made a story, so his is bigger. His is Brigu, which means Brihad, which means big. And Rupa Goswami is Laghu. Laghu means little. Chotagiri. Little Laghu means light. Laghima city. Lighter than a cotton thread, you know. A cotton ball. Laghima city. Laghu means light. Laghu Bhagavatam has all the nectar, but just touch of nectar. The story is there in Brihad Bhagavatam. The Gopa Kumar and Narada Muni, two different stories are there. If you don't stay, you just stay top all the time, you'll get a little dry. Need some ras. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What's the other question?
Yeah,